Everyone, my name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Revelation, the 21st chapter and the 5th verse, and it says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" The Storytelling Time podcast this week is the 6th story taken from the 5th chapter of the book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. The chapter title is Farmer's Market. The title of the podcast today is Everything is New. Before we start our story today, I'll be giving you more information about the Right Way Publishing Company, headed by Ms. Lee Henrich. I've already introduced you to Ms. Henrich on previous podcasts, and I indicated that she's a great resource to have as you write your book. Most beginning writers are focused on the traditional hardcover or paperback rendition of their book, but I have mentioned on occasion that more non-traditional methods of writing are taking hold in the book publishing industry. One of these non-traditional methods is audiobooks. An audiobook, as you know, is simply an audio cassette or CD recording of a reading of a book, typically a novel. And while these podcasts are not on a recording medium per se, I do recite or record, if you will, a portion of various chapters of my books. The current book that I'm reciting from is Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People, which I'll start reading from after I finish this portion of the podcast. Many authors are turning to audiobooks to share their story content. And I say story because most audiobooks are novels, which are fictional accounts of stories of people, places, and events. For your information, after our reading of chapters in Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People in the current podcast series, we'll be moving on to reciting stories in the novels I've written, beginning with Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It? Dreams of Love, Deceit, and Hope. The recitation of stories in this book is scheduled to start early next year. If you'd like more information about audiobooks and how Ms. Henrich can help you if you're considering going in that direction in your writing, just contact me at my email address, waporter4995@yahoo.com. Now, let's get on with our story of the week after a short break. Welcome back. Suddenly, everything had become new for Jerry and his family. They were homeowners. Jerry spent the first few weeks at their new house working almost constantly, doing this and that, trying to get it just the way he wanted, at least in the yard surrounding his home. Karma did most of the work inside. Jerry's work outside their new house focused on preparing the land to support produce from the animals he had. He also had to determine how to manage some 30 chickens, 4 pigs, a goat, and a beehive that Jesse left behind when the sale was made. Jerry anticipated that he could use the 30 chickens as a basis to develop a chicken farm, where eggs, as well as the chickens themselves, could be produced and sold. Jerry envisioned that he needed to build several chicken coops to accommodate the 30 chickens he had in stock, plus additional chickens he planned to get. Even with the coops he had, he would need to add even more structures. With each coop being 4 to 5 square feet, there was more than enough area on Jerry's property to accommodate his needs. Not only did Jerry have to adjust to his new home, he also had to adapt to new management at the auto shop where he was employed. Fortunately, his new boss was more understanding of employees' personal issues than the previous one. It had become no big deal for workers to take time off from work to attend to personal matters, within reason, of course, and Jerry intended to take full advantage. During his time off, Jerry would travel to Des Moines, less than an hour's drive, to take workshops on chicken coop construction and management. He found this opportunity on the internet. Jerry did other research on the web in preparation for the effective maintenance of his very large piece of property, not forgetting about working well with new management at the auto shop. Back on the farm, Jerry felt that the pig pen that was already built would be enough to serve his needs with the 4 pigs he inherited from the sale. Jerry learned that swine production is one of the most lucrative businesses you can have on a farm, and Jerry certainly wanted to take advantage of that. Jerry also planned to manage 4 beehives where honey would be produced for sale on the open market. Working on what he thought would become a relatively large farm and also being employed at the auto mechanic shop would take practically all his time. While on the farm, Jerry remembered many of the things his grandfather did as he worked with him as a boy. Mason told Jerry many of his experiences, which gave him motivation to develop his own farm one day. There was this one story, Mason told Jerry, that would be cemented in his memory. It was a mysterious story about an intriguing experience Mason had when he first started farming. While it was not something that was pleasant to remember, it was a story that stuck in Jerry's mind for all these years. As his grandfather told it, Mason began to speak as Jerry listened.
Jerry, you might think that it's unusual for me to look down a lot when I'm outside. Well, let me tell you a story that can explain why I do that. One time I was busy in our bedroom, rearranging furniture so I could paint the room. While I prepared to do this particular chore, I took a break and went to the kitchen to get a drink of water. It was then that I noticed something very unusual as I looked outside the kitchen window. Let me tell you what I saw. It was just amazing. What I saw was what looked like a dark round spot in the backyard on the patio's crystal white granite. At first, I thought it was a shadow. But then I asked myself the question, why would there be a shadow at this location? There's nothing around that would produce a shadow, I said to myself. I mean, nothing else was around except the steps leading up to the deck. You know that deck that's on the back of the house? Anyway, I must have stared at this spot for what seemed to be over a minute or so. Then, unexpectedly, the dark spot began to move just a little. As the mass began to uncoil, I realized that what I was seeing was a large black snake that no doubt had slithered there from a wooded area nearby. Then something very strange happened. The snake soon began to crawl forward. Then it hesitated as if it was confronted with something or someone in its path. It then slowly began to rise up. Yeah, it raised its narrow body upward, continuing to rise up to what seemed to me to be at least 3 feet in the air. I'd never seen anything like it. I was mystified standing there, standing in front of my own sink, looking out that window. Anyway, soon I got myself together. Then I saw this thing continue to rise up, rise as high in the air as it wanted to get, I suppose. Well, the serpent stayed in that position for what seemed to be well over a minute. During this time, it did something else that was so strange. It began to swivel its narrow head, first to the left, then to the right, then back to the left again. That thing's motion was almost like a cobra, although I knew it wasn't one. But it just stayed in that position for, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds, appearing to be surveying its immediate surroundings. Then here's something else, Jerry, that was so amazing. Once he did that, having risen up to at least 3 feet in the air, the next thing that happened was that it began to open its mouth. It opened its mouth so widely, it seemed as though it was yawning after having a good night's sleep. Can you imagine that, Jerry? I'll tell you this. The event amazed me so much that it practically put me into a trance while I was watching. You know, I thought about going out to the deck and going down to the patio where the snake was to confront it, to kill it. But listen, I came to my senses and I didn't. Oh yeah, I wanted no part of that thing. By the time I finished thinking about it, the snake had lowered its body and had begun to crawl forward toward the house, where it soon disappeared.
After telling Jerry about such an extraordinary scene, Mason told him that he then returned to the bedroom to complete his chores, that is, painting the walls of the room and replacing furniture. What a story, Jerry thought. But what did it mean? What was its significance? Jerry had asked himself after listening to his grandfather tell the story. Mason wasted no time in giving him an answer. He told Jerry about the importance of paying attention to where you walk outside of the house by looking down often to see where you're going and to survey the area where you're walking. It was something that Jerry had ridiculed his grandfather about in his mind. That is to say, looking down so much. But Jerry got over it, and it was something that he would duplicate himself when working his own farm. After sharing the snake story, Jerry's grandfather continued to talk to him about looking down often to see what was crawling about and to avoid any accidents while working on the farm. Years later, the story of the snake certainly reminded Jerry of his grandfather's habit of frequently looking down as he roamed around in his yard. Jerry thought that was so unusual at the time. Jerry later realized that his grandfather was just being careful and extremely aware of where he stepped as he went about his property. Later on, with a family of his own, Jerry certainly intended to be aware of his surroundings, given all the heavily wooded and weeded areas around the house where snakes and other dangerous animals could foster. Jerry took his grandfather's advice by looking down often while working in the yard, and it paid off one day when he was mowing the lawn. As he was walking along, pushing the mower, Jerry noticed a long silver and black snake slithering right to the side of where he was passing, deeply embedded within the tall grass. That experience stirred memories of what his grandfather had told him years prior about looking down and being aware of where you're walking. Thank goodness he was aware and didn't step on that snake. About a month after that experience, Karma told Jerry how the son of a friend of hers was bitten on the ankle by a snake just prior to him entering a vehicle. Karma said that he was rushed to the hospital and the fellow survived the experience. The things Jerry's grandfather instructed him to do on the farm also reminded him of a sermon he heard once at the church they attended. The title of the sermon was Be Aware. Jerry remembered the minister teaching about the importance of being aware of your surroundings in everyday life, whether shopping in a public place or just going out for a walk in the park. The minister stressed that as believers, we have an enemy, a spiritual force that is determined to seek and destroy according to the scriptures, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Jerry learned a lot from his grandparents, both spiritually as well as practically, as he continued with his life. Let's take a break. We'll be right back to finish the story and then close the show. Stay with us. Welcome back. Our story this week shows the value of patience in waiting to receive whatever it is that you want. Jerry really desired to follow in his grandfather's footsteps as a farmer. Early on, with his own family, that desire didn't seem likely to materialize because of his challenging financial situation. But Pastor Henny changed all that. He instilled in Jerry's mind that by taking control of his family's spending habits, he could make his money go further each month. But he needed something to sustain that type of discipline. And that something was God's direct intervention in his finances through Jerry's beginning to tithe his income. Well, Jerry accepted that challenge and, with the help of Pastor Henny, became aware of God's promise of his blessings with obedience in this area of giving. That's what it says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. It's the one place in the scripture where God says to his people to prove to themselves that anyone will benefit financially and in every other way by giving a portion of earnings, that is 10%, to the storehouse. And we all know what the storehouse is. It's the church. In most cases, the local church, housed in a physical building where a knowledge of God is supposed to be delivered and promoted. Prior to Pastor Henny's arrival to the church, where the Hargroves were members, Jerry had limited knowledge as to how he could turn his financial situation around. With Henny becoming the pastor and with his teachings, Jerry quickly put into practice the knowledge that was provided by the new pastor about money management. Plus, Jerry began to accept and adhere to the concept of tithing as he began his career as a farmer. Jerry also used the knowledge his grandfather had about being aware of your surroundings. This would certainly help Jerry in his work on the land he had just acquired. Yes, while growing up, Jerry didn't understand his grandfather looking down so much. It seemed so ridiculous to him at the time. But with spiritual maturity over time, Jerry came to realize that his grandfather's snake story was an example of how sometimes a lack of knowledge can be potentially dangerous. Accidents can happen. As Jerry learned from what Karma told him about the situation that the son of a friend of hers was in one day. Because of the story his grandfather told him about the snake he saw on his patio, Jerry was sure to be careful as he walked around his own yard. Yes, by looking down a lot. And yes, everything had certainly become new for Jerry and his family. Well, that's all for today. Remember, whatever you may be going through, just keep in mind, there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.